Welcome back to Rosie on the House as we broadcast live from Sabo. We're actually going to bring in somebody from out of the Tucson area to cover our weekly to-do, which has to do with drywall repair. And the reason for that, we don't have a drywall contractor in Tucson to recommend. So if you are a drywalling contractor, licensed, bonded, insured, been in business locally at least 5 years, and interested in filling that void we have, you know, come on out to Sabo today and introduce yourself to us, get an application, and we can start the process from there. But in the meantime, we're actually bringing in a gentleman by the name of Rick Thompson, Thompson's Drywall. You've had Thompson's Drywall over a decade, but he's actually been doing work for our listeners long before that because the company he worked for retired, moved up to Sholo. Rick went out on his own, and he was their best technician, so we partnered up with Rick, and he's been doing drywall for our listeners for pushing 20 years now, Rick.
Time flies.
What are you up to today?
I'm over here at the live streams, doing a little texturing on the ceiling.
Interrupting your production this morning, I apologize.
Anything for the listeners.
And that's what it's all about, the education. So let's start with drywall cracks and knowing whether or not, is that a structural crack indication or is it just a cosmetic crack?
Well, that's what we got to figure out. A lot of times, if you see cracking going around doors and windows or you see some heaving, those are structural. And even settling cracks, as long as the house isn't moving, if your house is moving, you need to get that fixed first.
And one of the tricks that we used to tell people is just take a piece of tape and put it over the crack and draw a pencil line like how wide the crack is and come back in a couple weeks and if it hasn't moved or the crack's not any bigger than that line you made with the pencil, you're probably okay going ahead and repairing the drywall.
And then sometimes in the ceiling, you have gravity working against you too. So I'll take my knife and I'll relieve the stress in the crack. And then I'll run screws on both sides of the crack, tighten it back to the studs and the trusses. But like on the ceilings, like I said, sometimes you got gravity kind of, once the little crack starts, it starts releasing a little bit. And then so by running the screws in it, you're tightening it back up, and you should be good.
And so how do you repair it then? Because if you know, matching texture isn't, you know, something you just pick up and do once and you're happy with it.
I think that when I first got into drywall, I used to sand texture. I used to follow a spray rig or people that would put the skip trial on the walls. That's how I first got in drywall. And I sanded so many houses and made a good living doing it. But I think as an advantage for me, because it gave me the opportunity to see good texture and bad texture. Just practice. You just got to look at the direction of the texture, kind of like material has a nap. You want to follow the same direction. You want to follow the nap. And that helps hide a lot just in itself.
When the texture was applied, somebody had to be going in a direction, left to right, up to down. And what you're saying is you want to try and see what direction it was applied and then do it the same direction.
Yeah, you want to read the texture as best you can because you don't want everything to be going one way and then you do something the other way, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
What's the first?
And then also, you also want to make sure that before you do the texture, take a sponge and sponge your edges into the existing texture. Don't sponge it too much, just enough that it blends in. So you're kind of feathering that part of it before you even texture it. Otherwise, you're going to see an outline of the texture.
And that works even on a painted, finished drywall surface.
Right. So
now you don't want to get it so wet that you actually see water running down, but you at least want
just a damp sponge, just kind of wash it off.
So we've got the dampness on the texture. We've applied it for small cracks. Do you like those little aerosol cans of drywall texture you can get at the hardware store?
Well, you can. Those are kind of hit and miss for me, though. I've had a bad experience. I counted on a can and it messed me up. It was an old can or something, and then I'm like, oh. But for the homeowner, they're perfect. They're great. You can just get in there, spray a little bit, and they work well.
And then when you're doing the spray, it's best to go find some place to spray it first. You know, pull out some cardboard, sheet of plywood, spray it onto a surface that you're not doing first, just so you get the feel and you can see how it comes out, how fast it comes out, the pattern it is, right. How fast you're going to have to move it when you're doing it on your finish.
I'll do that with my plastic.
A plastic.
When I'm masking off an area, I'll just start on my plastic. I got to test out my masking, right? Make sure it's working.
So once it's sprayed, what's our next step from there? We got to let it dry.
Well, if it's a knockdown, let it dry. Wait till you get the little shininess becoming a little dull, and then take a knife and do a light knockdown. Just kind of drag your knife nice and flat, very softly, and that should do it. If it's an orange peel, just leave it. Maybe once it's dry, take a little piece of sandpaper, do a light sand on it if you got little crumbs sticking out, and so you just kind of knock those off. Be real gentle with it.
And then at that point, you're ready to apply the paint, whether you're trying to match the existing or you're
right,
going to go ahead and change it.
The primer and the paint. You want to prime them.
Now
sometimes you want to prime them a couple times because it's sucking up the paint, and you have the other walls have already got layers of paint on it. So now you don't want it to flash, so you want to definitely get a good primer.
And then real quick, share your story about using screen door material for patches.
I was working in upstate New York and on some huge mansions. One house I worked on had 30 rooms. I couldn't believe it. But it was all plaster. And when you have plaster walls, sometimes you'll get areas that spider web. The reason, I don't know, it's just old and moving in all different directions, I guess. But one way to solve it, they taught me to use screen door material, the fiberglass. So you just kind of blob a little bit of mud on the wall or ceiling, whatever it is, and then stick the screen on that and then start skimming it into the wall. And it's like one big, huge piece of fiberglass mesh tape.
That would be applicable if you're talking about a serious size crack.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a
great
crack here and there. Just use, you know, mesh tape. Well, they got this fiberglass tape now, too. It works pretty good.
Let's go through drywall patches, especially behind doors and handles or moving dinks, whatever the case may be.
First, before I fix anybody's door hole, they have to have a door stopper there or a new door stopper because I'm not going to waste my time. Yeah. But you can cut it out a little square, and that is perfect for a tear patch. Cut your hole into a little square, and then that way it's easier to work with. Then you get your other piece of sheetrock, the new piece, and cut it a little bigger than the hole. And then take it and flip it around to the backside so the backside is out facing you. And then drop it down a little low so you can see where the square hole you just cut. And then score the backside on both sides for the measurement. And then you can pull it up and do the same thing horizontal. Do one vertical, or do the two vertical and then the two horizontal.
And a picture.
Then you fill that back part off. You pop it and you kind of pull it towards you because you don't want the tape to be pulled off the sheetrock that you're going to use as the plug. And the whole idea is you're using tape. It's going to be your own tape and it's actually going to hold the patch in place. So before you put it on the wall, you got your pieces all cut and ready to go in. You take some drywall joint compound or mud, use your knife, and apply it around the sheetrock itself, the patch, kind of like a brick. I mean, you're putting in a brick in the wall. And then also put a ring around smear it around the hole in the wall also, the outside of the hole. You push it into the wall evenly and flush, and then you just pull out the sides in all directions and let it dry. And then you can go ahead and put a couple coats on it, texture it.
A picture's worth a thousand words to see what Rick is talking about. If you go to our website, click on our weekly to-do, he actually has pictures from 3 years ago. He did a cut patch example for us. How big of an area will a cut patch work? Because that does get limited if you're starting to get into some bigger.
I don't know. I would say maybe you could go to like a foot. I mean, you could go more, but you're just going to be fighting it. At that point, it's so much easier just to get some backing. And what I use is I'll go to Home Depot or whatever your favorite home store is and get some furring strips. They're 1x1 pine wood. And you cut those a little bigger than the hole, maybe a couple inches above and below the hole, and put it on both sides if it's a larger patch or if it's small patch, get away with just one stick. You put it in the back side of the drywall, and then you run screws into it on the top and the bottom, and that'll hold it. You're going to need a screw gun to do that. And then you have your backing, and then you can run a screw or two into the wall. And then you go ahead, and then you put your tape around it. Go ahead and coat it a couple times, three times if you need it. Do whatever it takes. The flatter, the better.
That is your weekly to-do. Walk around, observe how many drywall repairs you need, if any at all. And you can use this podcast and re-listen to it and go through it step by step to learn that technique. Or if you decide that's not a job you want to do yourself, but you have the need for it, Rick, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me by giving me a call at 602-330-7754. And I'd be my pleasure to take care of any of your drywall needs.
Rick Thompson, Thompson's Drywall. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us.
You're very welcome. Anytime. Thanks, Romy.